Welcome to the tax update for March 2015, which begins with an observation that the OTS has published its recommendations on employment tax, but the budget announced a delay or a deferral in the treatment of agency workers' employment expenses. Employment tax and status is very, very difficult, and the Office of Tax Simplification has published a 188-page report, but it doesn't have a solution to such difficult and complex problems. But it is worth a read. And as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes along with links to the relevant documents if you wish to conduct further research. From 1st March, company cars have new advisory fuel rates, and this is hardly surprising given the fallen oil prices and the linked decline in petrol pump prices. And on average, you can expect the advisory fuel rates for each car to have gone down by 2 pence a mile. So for example, a large diesel has fallen from 16p a mile to 14p, but you can read the link and the detail. Labour has announced its policy on pensions, proposing to reduce the threshold for the lifetime allowance from 1.25 million to 1 million, and also limiting the amount which can be deducted. Labour's argument for doing this is on the basis that many people have large pensions, and the average pension pot is £40,000, so that £1 million remains 25 times larger than the average pot. This seems to me to be a very, very poor argument, given that if the average pot is £40,000, then such people have not made adequate provision for their pension, and are not taking account of the increased life expectancy, as well as possible future inflation. We did, of course, see the budget on the 18th and publication of the finance bill on the 24th of March. This budget was about politics, and there's really not much of substance in the budget. We still have a personal and business tax system that is a right mess and overly complex and quite inappropriate for a self-assessment regime. But the Chancellor did announce, and it will be something of interest to many practitioners, his intention that by 2020 they will have abolished the annual necessity for nearly 10 million people to submit an annual tax return. He also claimed that completing the annual tax return takes just 40 minutes for people to deal with HMRC, and I thought that was a really sick joke, because it takes 40 minutes just to speak to a human being in HMRC if you need to telephone them. But I thought I'd end the fiscal year by a little bit of good news and a reassurance that there is still fairness within our system, which was illustrated by the decision for Mr. Juice Lobler at the Upper Tribunal, where Mrs. Justice Proudman came to the decision that Mr. Jobler's mistake in completing a complex form meant that it could be rectified. This case actually illustrates that HMRC do not respect the spirit of the law, but will pursue the letter of the law where this yields more tax, even though the tax that they were seeking was so grossly unfair as to be quite offensive to any reasonable person. Mr. Jobler had invested £1.4 million in an Isle of Man-based investment, but he then needed access to his money to repay a loan and do some house improvements, and he ticked the wrong box, so that instead of encashing the policy, which would have resulted in a gain of $70,000, he treated it as a partial withdrawal, and was therefore taxed as if it was income on the funds that he was withdrawing. It produced an absolutely outrageous result, and HMRC were seeking tax on $560,000, which was the correct statutory interpretation dealing with chargeable events and the complex law that surrounds this case. But the result was absolutely outrageous. Unfortunately, Mrs. Justice Proudman has applied what I think is a common sense decision and said that although the Footer decision in 2013 introduced what I would call quite a severe limitation on the Hastings-Bass principle, which allows rectification or remedies of documents by mistake, she said this was a suitable case for the document to be remedied, and that Mr. Lobler, who was a Dutch citizen and not familiar with either our country, its laws, or indeed our language, could remedy the document so that he was going to be taxed only on the actual gain on the investment policy of $70,000. A fair result. I only hope that HMRC accept it, because they really should have been ashamed of themselves for failing to exercise their care and management provisions. Thanks for listening.